I didn't need you talking to the mic, Sky.
It's crunch time, guys.
We're doing
this? This is the Toasty Podcast. My name is Sky. Obviously, we have Maddie B in the corner as well. Today, I brought Jordan on, one of my best friends from, not high school. I don't know, whatever, college. It is what it is. We met a long time ago. He's going to talk about Forex, which, you know, honestly, I don't even know if you know what that is, but we're going to find out today, huh? Let's get to it.
I'm excited.
Right? So what the heck is Forex?
So one thing that a lot of people will hear is the term Forex, which in and of itself doesn't necessarily mean what we're here to talk about. Forex refers to the whole overall market that would be transactions going on in between different countries' currencies overall. So that could mean absolutely anything. They call it the most liquid market in the world because any transaction going on between two countries is Forex. But what we are specifically talking about here is Forex trading, which is when traders get access into the Forex market through a broker, and they're actually trading the ratio between two currencies, two different currencies across the world. So, for instance, the euro and the dollar change with respect to each other in value as time goes on.
So you're trading on, like, how much a currency's worth, pretty much, and just going to watch it fall or...
So a term that people are familiar with is exchange rate, because anybody who's traveled before, they see the term exchange rate. And when you walk out of the airplane terminal, you'll see the right there, usually in whatever country you're in, is a big stand with all the different little logos, the pound symbol, the euro symbol, the yen symbol, the dollar symbol. And you see that. And when you walk up to this desk, they'll have different numbers up there. So it might be, if you just land in Europe, you might walk up to the desk and you see euro 1.3. So that's going to mean that for every 1.3 or $1.30 of your US dollars, you'll get 1 euro.
Yeah, but like how often does that change for you to trade on it?
So that's a good question. This is what is the hardest thing for people to understand initially, I think. So when you have a centralized trading market, that's like the stock market. So it's all hosted at the New York Stock Exchange. Everybody and everyone's share prices are reporting back to that same centralized place, and all of our orders are executed through their computers there. Forex is a decentralized market, almost more like Bitcoin, but Bitcoin obviously has its own blockchain stuff going on, where it's everybody's individual little computers that are doing the checks and balances of the network. In foreign exchange, it's central banks and big time banks that are global, and they're constantly monitoring and fluctuating the price between these different currencies. So it's decentralized. It's not all going through one place. So I'll try to explain that a little better. Like, we have a central bank here, like the, like Fed. It's government, the Fed, right? The euro, the European Union, you know, they got central banks. People got central banks across the globe. There's also a list of actual, global banks that are actual private company banks but operate in multiple countries.
And like they all, Deutsche Bank, for example.
Yes, Deutsche Bank is one of them. There's like 20 or so of those, I think, that are considered big enough to be like players in this game in terms of the price could actually affect based off of what they do. So since people across the globe are constantly doing transactions between currencies and between countries, the price does move with supply and demand, just like any other asset you could have or any other security.
I guess I can't see why. I mean, why would you choose doing that over something that you know is more stable, like the stock market?
So stability is a weird term there, because stock market isn't necessarily more stable.
Pretty volatile right now.
That's my point, though, right? So right now, everyone might be getting mad, or they might be happy. I'm not sure. Whichever type of trader you are, at the stock market for being so volatile, and here you are diving in to something that is even more usually volatile, right?
It's more liquid. Volatile varies with it. Volatility varies with it just like it would in the stock market.
Oh, okay.
So
there's more stable big ratios economic, here?
Big, yes, they are actually very stable, and that'll bring us into one of the most important topics here in just a second. When big economic events happen across the globe, volatility does go up just like in the stock market. Brexit was a huge one. And actually just the recent events have made volatility go up as well. But you're not incorrect in thinking that how could there be enough movement between the ratios of these currencies for you to actually trade at all, right? Because people look at the dollar and the euro, and like basically for a whole millennial's lifetime, the euro has been just a little bit stronger than the dollar. So you're like, if this has hardly changed this entire time, how would there be any room for growth here? And the answer to that is basically the instant access to leverage that brokers, Forex brokers, give you that you don't get in the stock market. So brokers basically sponsor your access into the market and will give you insane leverage ratios like 40 to 1, 50 to 1. Hmm. So I can literally just use $100 of my money to basically get access to a transaction as if I was buying enough of another currency for it to be like $4,000. So even if the ratio between the dollar and the euro, if that was the currency pair I was trading, we'll talk about currency pairs in a second. Even if that ratio only changed by like 2%, that would actually be huge in the Forex market. But if I have my money leveraged 40 to 1, I made a lot more than 2% in that change, or lost a lot more.
So it's not even, I don't know, man, like I'm trying to compare it to margin in like trading. Well,
it is margin, but the brokers they're not as regulated. They give you access easier to it, and they have less
on
fees.
Forex.
In Forex.
Right, okay, I got you. Wow.
It's lower crap. Fees. They basically just operate in the spread, which you have in the stock market as well, your bid and your ask.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so you were going to get into like, what the heck are we talking about when we're talking about a currency pair, or what are we trading?
Right. I think that's fundamental to making the listeners understand initially.
Yeah, for sure.
We kind of went a little deeper than the initial concept. So the initial concept is everybody out here has their own different currencies, right? You have the euro, the pound, the yen, the dollar, the Canadian dollar, the Australian dollar. Since all of these change with respect to each other, we want to trade on that. Well, Forex brokers call this currency pairs. So a pair could be like the euro versus the US dollar. That's an example of one pair. And they call it the euro or the EURUSD. When you see it up on a big ticker, it'll be usually six letters for these different pairs. The EURCAD is the euro versus the Canadian dollar. And the USD-CAD is the US dollar versus the Canadian dollar. So those are three examples of pairs. And they divide these up calling them the major pairs and the minor pairs. The major pairs consist of different people have different interpretations of which one are major. It kind of depends on the liquidity of each one. But most major countries that cross with each other are almost any pair with the US dollar. Is considered a major pair because there's so much more transactions happening with the American dollar that liquidity is always there. An example of a minor pair would be like the Swiss franc against the Australian dollar.
Yeah, because no one really thinks about that.
Right.
That's probably just things you might... Right. Unless automatic. You're Australian. What's up?
So unless you're Australian.
Yeah, in right.
Case, that's your foreign exchange for...
But a anything, Swiss, right? But like the Swiss, yeah. The Swiss franc against the Australian dollar has... you could draw a comparison to like a penny stock in terms of the way it trades.
Okay, so it has more, is it more volatile?
More bumpy. It's bumpy.
Yeah, oh, okay, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Your orders might execute with some slippage, you know.
Yeah.
They might not execute right where you wanted it to, or your stop loss might get hit.
Okay, so just one side note, slippage is whenever you make a trade order and it actually goes below or above, depending on what you're ordering, on the order you place. So you lose money. Essentially,
And you could theoretically win with slippage too.
It can go both ways.
The other direction. That's the difference between here and the stock.
The point is, it's not what you're trying to limit your order at. It's something different.
It's inconsistency.
It's like a market order.
So the forex market is also dependent on the time of day. Like right when New York is in the thick of it at 9:30 a.m. There's a lot of transactions happening across the globe, and liquidity is high, and orders are executing well. The ratio between the Australian dollar and the Swiss franc, for example, that overlap is smaller. Most of the day, it's kind of a weird. They're very off in the globe. One might be asleep, the other one might be awake.
Right.
And does the pairing have anything to do with like the trade between two countries, or is it just overall value of that?
It's really just overall value of the currency. Mm-hmm. If a currency is going up and down, just on its own, it's going up and down in comparison to all the other pairs. You will see a slight discrepancy from that, like a little bit of disparity. The dollar might be going up and down a certain amount, and it'll look a little bit different against the pound versus the euro. But what you're really just seeing is maybe the pound is also going up. And the euro was the only one going down. In the past, the pound and the euro were pretty attached, but since Brexit, they will move separately a lot. So
since you're on a global scale, then I'm guessing like you don't. Is there any off time here? Like it sounds like it's just
good
on
question.
All the time.
So there's it's running 24/7, 5 days a week. So if you're in the U.S., the forex market opens at 6 p.m. on Sunday. Because the first person to hit Monday morning trading hours is Sydney, Australia. Hmm. And Sydney, Australia hits, they're considered one of the four major Forex trading centers. And it's Sydney, Tokyo, London, and New York. And that's not to say that Sydney is as major of a trading city as a lot of other global cities that weren't listed in that list of four. It's just that that's where they are in the world.
Wonder if it would ever change to like Singapore or something. That's
yeah,
a
like
more...
something in a similar latitude or longitude.
Yeah, who the heck decided that? Like, who the heck just said this is it? This is the one.
At the time, I don't know. It became there. Australia has always been popular in the forex game, like trading game. They have some brokers there, and the people have been into it. Whereas Singapore, that may not.
Well,
be
so
the case.
I mean, where did it even but, like I don't know where did it even start then? If we know that.
Europe.
Oh, okay.
Europe was doing this first, and they had the least regulation on it, so brokers went insane with like 1,000-to-1 leverage.
Hmm.
A lot of dumb people lost a lot of money that way. A lot of brokers made a lot of money that way.
Yeah, okay, so you're talking about leverage, like you're betting so much money out here. So like in options, if you do that, you could also lose a lot of money, mm-hmm. depending.
Correct.
Is it the same thing, or is there a way, like... No basic guy out there can do this. Like, is that, I mean.
Right. So you are in control of it completely, a lot more than I would say you are in options. Because in options, you're buying the contract and you might, you know, completely lose your options premium. And there's pretty crazy ranges and not very clear, you know, take profit or stop loss points that you really set. You know, it's all a little bit more difficult than that. And it doesn't necessarily move exactly with how the stock price is moving. You know, it all depends on how you set up your particular contract when you bought into it. Forex, you're in a lot of control. So you could have $1,000 in your account and be trading on 40-to-1 leverage. You just make sure that you don't take a position size that's too big to make you go crazy.
Yeah,
so
there's no...
you're able to control that yourself.
So is there any regulation on how many contracts you have to have? Not contracts, but
the size.
The size, like you know what I'm saying? Because like contracts and options is like you have to have 100. So no matter what, one contract is 100 of that freaking whatever the cost is.
That's broker dependent as well. This is another nice thing about the forex market is it's so much less regulated.
Hmm.
Brokers can choose how much they think is worth their computer's processing of your transaction.
Yeah.
Oanda is one very popular forex broker, and they let you trade tiny amounts of money, really small amounts of money. A lot of other brokers won't even let you have an account unless you have like 10 million in assets. So,
Wow, because that would make sense, right? Because you're getting so much leverage, just like, okay, well, show me some money, you know, or show me something that you have.
It's also true.
Right? Yes. It's like interesting that there's even a freaking broker out there that's just like, you have $100? Cool, man. You know what? Here's $5,000 or whatever it would be, you know, as leverage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah, it is crazy.
Like, holy crap.
And there's a couple different types of Forex brokers, but I think there's a few more things we should probably say just on the baseline of how Forex trading even works before we even get there.
Yeah, so like that's the next thing then. If I'm gonna be the guy and I want to, like, for some reason I think Forex is a thing, you know, that I want to get into. I mean, really, just how is it the same as starting to trade? Like, is it like, well, if you got to fund your account, okay, obviously you got to fund an account, that's normal. Mm-hmm. But what's even the next thing? You're not looking at stocks. How do you even?
So it's a little bit overwhelming when you first look at it because there's a lot of numbers with a whole lot of decimal points after them, or a whole lot of decimal places. And it looks very confusing when you first look at it, when you go to like a Forex trading interface. And so something a term that everybody would have to understand to do anything in the Forex market is the PIP, the PIP. And what that is, and this is going to be hard to explain via only audio, but the fourth digit after the decimal of a ratio between two currencies is the PIP. So if you have the euro and the dollar, and the ratio between the euro and the dollar is like 1.3574, for that, the change in that four at the end, in the fourth decimal place, if it goes up to five or down to three, that's a gain or a loss of one PIP. And that speaks to how small the change in the currency is that we're actually trading on.
So
here,
that's
why
you need
40-to-1 leverage to even bother with this.
And you can also like do it with small amounts of money. That makes sense.
Yes. So
because you're only trading like two decimal places, maybe in an option for the cost of the option times 100.
Right, like a stock price.
Right. So well, the options
you don't even
price
need
will
to,
be like
you don't
different.
Even need to really relate it to options to see just the difference in how this changes. Like a stock price will literally go from $10 to $11 easily in a day.
Sure it will, but like the option price of that stock might be 0.02 or 0.01, but as soon as it's 0.01, it doesn't go three
right because you
places.
Kind
that's
of
it.
You buy all these contracts and it's
right,
almost
it's
a
weird.
Way of leveraging the position.
Yes,
correct.
Exactly.
Yes,
so
that is a good,
it's the same thing, yes. But it's like not the same decimal place. You go all the way to the fourth decimal place. I only go to the second.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
It's crazy.
Because it doesn't move that much.
Wow.
So, like, it varies currency pair to currency pair, but 100 to 150-ish is a pretty common amount for how many pips a currency pair will move in a day. So you can see how little like that moves. So if you gained 100 pips in a day, that you probably gained about as much as you possibly could. You probably picked the bottom of the day and came out at the top.
So yeah. 100 pips would be like 1/1000.
Yeah, exactly. But like you're like, and then you're like, if it's 40 times that, you know, you're, what is that? You know, you got.
Well, yeah, that, how much you're gaining or losing all depends on how big of a position you take.
Right.
But like the dollar and the euro are changing by, you know, maybe a penny. You know?
So like before this podcast, I was looking at that crap too, but it looked like most people don't even, well, from what I could tell, it was like tens of thousands on the, like how many you're choosing, how many you're going, the leverage or whatever. It was like you pick 10,000 or you pick 100,000 of
lots.
Whatever. Like, is
you're
that what
saying,
that,
you said you
yeah,
were looking
I'm,
at it.
I'm trying to figure out, I don't know what that is. What is that?
Those like, are, they, a lot of times they'll call it lot sizes. That's
oh,
the
okay.
term. And like, I forget the ratios they use. I use Oanda, so I forget the lot sizes because Oanda lets you do anything you want. And some breakers hold you to either a 0.1 lot, a one lot, or 100 lots. And you can only trade certain.
So like TD Ameritrade
amounts.
Was what I was on. And it was 1,000. It was buy 1,000 lots.
Buy 1,000.
You can only do 1,000.
So
1,000?
Because that's
10,000,
200,000. That's like more than $1,000. Because like a micro lot is like 10. Units of currency or whatever. So a micro lot would be like actually $10 or 10 euros or 10 pounds.
So that's one way they can regulate how much money you have before you get in then. Kind of, right? Because if you can't even trade below 1,000
lot. It is one way that a lot of brokers weed out pennies on the dollar traders because they don't even, they're like, we don't let anybody trade down to the micro lot. Oanda does. And that's why it's such a good one for like beginners to get into.
Yeah.
One interesting little fact is if you're trading against the any currency against the Japanese yen, that's no longer the fourth digit, the fourth decimal place. It's the second decimal place because
the
yen is like they kind of have
a
different
small value.
It's like 111 to 1 when you look at its ratio to the dollar.
What about the yuan? What about the yuan? I was going to ask about Chinese currency because the yuan changes. You know, artificially a lot. And
in the Forex, people who feel like they're really in tune will trade it. I just, most Forex spot traders, which is a term for guys who just hop online and trade on these brokers like I do.
Like a normal person.
Don't even want to fool with China because it doesn't, the patterns that you feel like you normally see in currencies don't seem to apply to anything paired against the Chinese dollar because their government manipulates the currency so much. Just exactly what you would expect for China. And a lot of brokers don't even offer any, a lot of brokers don't offer the ability.
So can you trade, can you trade this like a normal stock you would? I mean, is it only day trading or what do we have here?
Yeah.
Cause like you're saying spot trading, you just get online, you're just going to freaking trade.
You can trade and you can have your whole trading strategy based on any way that you would trade stocks. In fact, a lot of the people who tried to trade with technical analysis use similar strategies. And, you know, you can think of it scalping as that guy sitting there just constantly trading over and over on little tiny movements. And then swing traders, maybe 1 to 3 days, maybe a week in one trade. And then there's fundamental macro trend long-term guys who will short the euro against the dollar for 3 years.
For Brexit or whatever happens, right? Was that it?
Okay. Brexit would be.
I don't know.
Like a lot of people.
I don't even know if that was a ratio.
A lot of people after Brexit was validated, you know, took long term short positions on, you know, against the pound because they know it's going to go down for a while, or at least they feel like it will.
Yeah,
and it has so far. I wish I had taken a long term position on that back when.
Yeah.
It initially had a massive drop, and you know, it kind of seemed like, oh, that might not.
I wonder if that was because of the lack of the backing of the euro, because the English have always used the pound even while they were in the EU.
Yes, it was. It was because of it, of losing its association to the euro, or just the whole economy losing its association to the European Union.
And you're backed by 26 other countries.
Right.
So it's
long-term or expected, you know, just economic downturn in a region. You would expect to see its currency lose value with respect to others. So people saw it as at least, you know, short term and long term are relative to what you think. Long term, a lot of people think in terms of like 10 to 20 to 30 years, it might be great for UK, but they think in 3 years, there's no way they will recover. So they might think I'm going to short this for the next 3 years.
Right. Okay. Wow.
That's an example of a big fundamental analysis. Longer term trade.
I don't think this would ever happen, but if Germany ever left the EU, then I could see there was it the German currency, is it francs?
I think that's, I thought franc was, yeah, maybe it is.
Could also be francs.
It's not one of the, like they're roped into the euro.
It's the miners.
Like
a miner pair.
Right. Well, yeah.
But I could see that.
Think of baseball, you know?
I could see that currency going up after, if they hypothetically left the EU, because they are the financial center of the EU, and they're basically propping up a lot of other countries that are not doing as well.
That's, yeah, that's true.
Greece is a prime example.
It could, yeah, that could be something that would, like, make all the other ones go down.
And Greece, dude, they've been doing bad for so long. I don't get it.
Come on, Greece.
But, so we got pips, right? So we're at the pips now, little pip squeaks, and you know how to, like, that's what you're trading on now. So now we have a basis. But, where does the pip come in? Like, are you basically saying that the pair, like, what's the first one of the pair? Is it the one that's going to win?
Oh, yeah, good question.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, so it's pretty standardized across the board, which currency pairs, which one you list first when you say it. So, like, with the euro versus the dollar, it's listed in that order, euro, dollar.
Okay, so...
And when you see it on a ticker listed that way, and then you see the graph that corresponds to that pair, whichever one is listed first, whichever one's three-letter code is listed first, is the one that's getting stronger as the graph goes up and to the right. So yeah. If you go long that pair, or you're bullish that pair for the euro dollar, that means the euro is getting stronger.
Right.
That's because the little six-letter code is EUR US.
So it doesn't mean that it actually is getting stronger, though. That's what you're betting on, or that's what you're trading on.
It would
right?
mean that the euro, if you go long the euro,
and so like a bearish
dollar.
Guy on that would be US dollar
yeah,
versus euro. It'd be USD
say he's
euro.
Bearish euro or bullish.
Either
dollar.
One. Okay.
And
I
that
you.
Would mean he wants that graph, the euro USD graph.
So it's whichever down. One you think is going. Okay, I got you. That's what you're doing. Okay.
Right.
That makes sense.
But
that makes
see,
sense.
Like that, that's one of the only ones where the USD is listed second. Cause like.
What?
Like in the little six letter code, EUR USD.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, in the pair that's the American dollar versus the Japanese yen, it's USD JPY.
Oh, so the pairs aren't like, there's not like an opposite of each pair?
Okay, I see what you're saying.
See what I'm saying? I thought,
that's a good question. I understand what you're asking now.
I thought, like, so if I'm trading on that euro versus dollar, but I think that dollar is going to go better than euro, then I trade on the USD versus the euro. That's what I thought I was doing.
That's something that people initially think a lot, but that's not how it works. Forex brokers let you just straight up buy or sell or long or short the pair.
Okay.
So you trade on the exact same graph. You just click for it to go the opposite.
So each
direction.
Pair is a stock. Let's just say that, right? Each pair is a stock.
Each
it doesn't
pair is a
change.
Stock, but you can just like instantly short it right there
right.
in the exact
Boom.
Same way that you would long it.
right.
Which doesn't really exist so much, you
in
know,
the stock
in,
market.
In the stock market unless you're buying like a short ETF.
It was a. It'd be a. Well, yeah. If
or
you're buying
like that, some
ETF
weird
or
thing,
or
and it's never.
It would be a quick option, I guess, but that's still.
It would
different.
Be an option, but it's complicated.
Still you're complicated. Yeah.
In this cool. scenario, you're literally you literally just click a different button.
Yeah.
On the trading thing, and you can short
wow.
that pair. But really, what you're doing is going long the dollar.
Huh.
So
it sounds like an easy. Like it sounds just like an. The whole thing so far sounds like an easier platform, not as convoluted as.
It is.
As options or something else that you might. Quote unquote, all these day traders out here that want to get into it.
What's up, toasters? My name's Sky, and I'm the producer of this podcast. The truth is, we're not really that famous, and honestly, I think I like it that way. But we can't always get what we want, and I know in order to succeed at informing people on controversial topics such as this, it's going to take a lot of support from you guys, the real MVPs. So if you could do your broskies over here at Toasty Creations a favor and subscribe to any of the content we create that you enjoy, that'd be the best thing that's happened to me all day. Probably. In fact, if you get 10 people to subscribe to my content, let us know, because you might even get some sweet Toasty swag. If you don't like it though, please don't do it. As a guy on a mission trying to make the world a better and more informed place, I want to earn that like and that subscribe. Oh, one last thing, people. Don't be shy. We want your feedback, so email me or tweet me with the link provided in the show notes. Okay, now back to the show.
It's an easier thing to just instantly day trade for several reasons. One is the instant access for just like any graph that you see, you can bet on it going either way easily. And another reason it's easier... in terms of accessibility, but not necessarily in terms of profitability, is because you don't have as much to look at. There, like, in all, there's like 94 total pairs in the world. Like, I think there, but like most brokers don't even give you access to that many. In fact, I think there might be a few more than 94, but I think Oanda lets you get to 94, and that's most of them. But most guys literally throw out about 70 of those, and. I personally throw out about 80 of them. I look at about 18 pairs.
And that's it. Always. Never changes. That's
and
all
you
it
can
is.
Just, each day, you can literally just run through all
There's
of them.
There's no IPOs
and look for what
freaking
you
Forex,
see.
Huh?
Yeah, the big events in Forex are interest rate decisions, jobs reports, and like retail sales data, stuff like that.
So when we decided to go to zero pretty much on interest rates, what is that, you know?
Yeah, that would be seen as bearish for the dollar.
For the US dollar.
So long term.
Okay.
A lot of people try to time, like if you're staring at the graph right when these, like the second that these jump out, a lot of big money in this game is sitting there on an algorithm ready to execute on the second that one of those things happen, and you'll see big old jumps. And by big old jumps, you may, you know, the currency changed like half a penny in right. 1 second. But when you're leveraged, that can be huge. It's like
200 pips.
You might be seeing like if in an average day a currency fluctuates around 100 to 150 pips, right when an interest rate decision happens, every second you might be seeing like 20 pip jumps.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of people try to literally like
time.
Like,
is it that quick to put
click
it
around and try to do that? It is in high liquidity times. It's instant. It's very fast.
Holy crap.
Order execution is very quick.
Like they
but
tell
most
you,
people
like,
are not successful doing that.
Oh,
I've tried on a demo accounts and very small funded accounts to like sit there like the minute the big news comes out.
Right.
It's really difficult to do, and it actually doesn't always instantly bounce the direction you think. Sometimes a non-favorable interest rate decision will come out, and for some reason the currency will jump 100 pips the opposite direction, and you're like, why the heck? And you don't really know, because the Forex market is so much deeper
freaking
than what you
printing money.
you have to, a big jump you have to realize as a trader is it's not the spot Forex traders that are moving this money, that are moving these ratios. It's global trade.
That was going to be my next question.
You're along
so
for the ride.
Behind Forex, we have currencies. I get that. But like behind the stock market, someone might say it's the company, but really it's not. Because if 60% of the people that are in the stock of one company all of a sudden decide they're out, the
Elon
company's
can
gonna flop.
Send out a tweet and
right.
Tesla might go
and
up
and so
plus or
you have
10%.
You have people actually behind the stock market, which
it's
means emotions can
are,
travel the stock market. Mm-hmm. Well, what about in Forex? What can it's just these certain moves, but who follows that? Does it make sense? Is it literally just like the fundamental thing that happens that changes it, or are the people
are
changing
there emotions it? Involved in changing?
Yeah, right. So is it like this?
Emotions are less of a factor because you're not instantly swinging the value by such a massive percentage. Like a stock will just based off of a tweet or an announcement. You really need time to see that much of a change in Forex. Like maybe if there was a massive emotional thing, like Brexit could be sort of attributed to emotions a little bit in terms of it going down a lot over time. Just even though people would generally say that that's favorable in the long run, mm-hmm. they just think, you know, and feel like it's going to be hard for Britain in the next couple of years. And so if that impacts global trade with Britain enough, you could almost attribute that to emotions, but it's not like a quick emotional thing that happens in the stock market every day. Crazy volatility during a trying time like the last few weeks
right.
where the stock market is up 5 or 7% every day.
Yes.
It's still just not moving that much. Actually, you are affecting your own emotional effect of it by how much you choose to leverage your money.
Wow.
Because you do have that choice.
Yeah.
Like you can trade at 40 or 50 to 1 leverage, or you could trade at 10 to 1 leverage, or you could trade at 40 to 1 leverage, but not just tie up all of your money.
Yeah. So we're talking about leverage and tying up your money. I mean, what do you mean? So it sounds to me like it's money management. And
it is.
When you get in there and you think that basically, how do you not lose all of your money then? What are you trading on? Let's say I have $1,000 in an account. How would you go about trading that on a USD euro pair or some crap?
Yeah, so usually like if you have $1,000 account and you want to take a certain direction with a euro USD pair, your money might be leveraged 40 to 1, but you actually only commit like 80 of your $1,000 into that trade. And so now, even if that trade went just absolutely horrendously for you, you would.
What is that, 8%? What is $80,000?
Yeah. 8%. Yeah, right? That would be 8%.
Just want to make sure I'm right. You guys are like, what's going on? Sorry, I didn't ask it loud enough. But.
And you're dumb to trade in Forex without a stop loss.
So you're trading, Paul, before we get into that, you're trading at 8% of your money that you have. Okay.
Right. But then the position that it's taking out there is multiplied by 40-1.
Boom. Okay. That
courtesy of your broker.
Interesting. So you could only lose 8% of your money total. Right? Is that how that kind of calculates, or? Besides the stop loss, don't worry about that yet, because I don't know if.
Right. No, you could lose more than your $80 if you just like let it keep going and going forever. I mean,
because it would go negative. It would just start taking into your other money.
Right. It could.
Okay. Interesting. So that brings us to the next thing that you mentioned, stop losses. So just go ahead and explain that for a second. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's just that's in any, tradable.
Yeah.
Market.
I mean, I explained it before a little bit.
Right.
Well, a long time
so
ago
for
on this podcast.
Anybody who isn't
not...
instantly familiar for that, it's you in your trading platform setting a point where the computer is going to automatically take you out of it.
Right. So you lose 10% and you're like, wrong. I don't want to lose more than 10%.
Right.
The computer will be like, okay, got you.
So you kind of have to do the math yourself in Forex because you kind of set your, in the platforms, you set your stop losses in terms of pips lost. So a good trading platform will you'll type in the position size you want to take, like how much currency you want to buy. And, it'll tell you what your value is per pip.
That's pretty cool.
Right. So, I can just convert that into,
so out of
whatever it is. So if the position I'm taking,
it
moves
right?
50 cents per pip that moves,
yeah.
Then I know that if it moves 10 pips, it's 50 cents times 10 in dollars, $5.
Wow.
So if I don't want to lose more than $5, I would set my stop loss 10 pips down. But, that would be a very quick short time frame trade. It might move 10 pips in a few seconds. So,
oh wow, okay.
But I normally, most of my trades are in the 100 to 150 pip range in terms of where I set my stop loss from the price that I enter in.
Because you're at a different money management scale where you can like not lose that much
right,
money.
Right, that's dependent on strategy.
Pips.
Some people
right.
might do 150. Some people are taking a much longer.
So is there a better strategy for a beginner or someone that wants to get started?
I wouldn't say there's a better strategy.
Probably just depends on how conservative of an investor you are.
So like your risk taker. So if you like basically your risk tolerance.
Yeah,
just
and
like
time,
any stock, right?
Time. Mm-hmm. Like
and how much time, yeah.
If you're kind of sitting around or, with not much to do and you're like, I really want to figure this stuff out, you might, certain strategies become available to you that wouldn't be for people who don't have time to sit there and stare at the chart the whole time. You can't constantly scalp little movements.
Well, see, my thing is that would you need to stare at, okay, so scalping, I guess, is a different
scalping,
story.
You would need to.
So if you're setting stop
swing
losses
trading,
and all
you
that, you can just
to.
Set it and just forget it.
Set and forget
and
it,
that's
yeah. That's
like
actually
the
one
thing.
Of the
it's
better
just...
advice that goes out there to young people. There's a lot of misinformation in the trading game, and one
Dude,
of the best...
all over the place, not even just Forex.
Yeah, not even just Forex. One of the best things that I have heard and is pretty commonly said out there, but people still, because of trading psychology, forget this, is pick where is your like, where are you going to get out? Pick that before you get into the trade, where you're going to put your stop loss and don't touch that. Unless you're doing a trailing stop where you're going to lose less and less, but don't ever pick a spot for your stop loss to be. And then for some reason, because you think you just, your trade is right, but you just need more breathing room, you move it down even more after you entered the trade. Hmm. And you just lose and lose and lose and lose more and more. Never, that's like a very common mistake, surprisingly. It seems like an obvious thing, but I've done it.
Right.
You're I was still right, even though this is going completely wrong for me.
Spirit Airlines,
I just need
am
more
I
time.
Right? You know so what I'm saying, dude?
So you just move your stop loss down. Yeah, that's a bad way to do
it. I still have faith, by the way.
There's a lot of successful strategies to trade, money management and how, and like learning to cut losses short and let gains run is what will actually scale any of those okay strategies into being great strategies.
So, okay. Let's hit some points. Like as far as like if Maddie B out here was about to get into it, is there anything you would like, not just about how it works or anything like that. We've kind of gone through a lot of like basics, don't you think? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have any more basics to say, say it now. But also, if there's anything you would tell him like not to do, or some things that he could, you know, some things that are always true.
Yeah.
In Forex. Besides, you just told one, the stop loss thing. That's trading psychology. It's true. But
yeah, there are several very true things that you'll learn through trial and error in Forex. And if you listen to the right people, you will learn to skip those things. In fact, a lot of the best players in the Forex game say that it's really all about avoidance. Like, you're going to take so many trades, and you're going to win so many of them, and you're going to lose so many of them. The real way to increase your profitability is not find ways to find more winning trades. It's finding ways to eliminate those ones that were wrong. And I think one of the best ways to do that, that I'm starting to learn in my journey through Forex, is
life of pips.
Listening to less people. Funny thing for the guy on the Forex podcast to say, but there's so much info out there, and so much of it conflicts with each other. So you're going to think, like, how are you going to know? So here's one thing that you're going to learn immediately. You should just realize it's common sense. If somebody has a phenomenal trading strategy that's just making bank, they're not going to share it with you. They just aren't. Paid Forex courses are not it. And that's like the big scam in the Forex game. And it's all across trading. And it's even more in the stock market lately. But this really has been an infamous thing for the Forex spot trading market, and is a stereotype for Forex, is how many fake gurus there are out there. And there are enough people online who have, out of the goodness of their heart, bought these courses and basically screenshotted them and gone to free Forex learning websites and compared them, and showed that all this material inside these courses are just regurgitated, repackaged assemblies of the information that's already available to you for free. There's never a scenario where you should be buying like a strategy for Forex. It just isn't, it's going to be regurgitated information is all it's going to be. It's out there for free. So that's number one thing. Don't get, because you're going to see it immediately. As soon as Google sees that you're Googling Forex, you're going to start getting ads, because those guys
Facebook
buy
throws
ads.
It up. What the hell?
That's their whole scheme. They buy ads, and they're massive on social media, and they're the guys who rent supercars and, you know, go on trips and everything.
Freaking Ty Lopez, bro. He wasn't really Forex guy, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, Ty Lopez is a fake guru for, you know, like, yeah, marketing and
whatever,
all that
right?
stuff.
Okay.
His social media accounts look exactly like a lot of the most popular Forex gurus. And they all do the same thing. Some of them are so successful at their fake guruing that they own supercars now. And yeah. They own awesome offices in downtown areas. And they will travel around and they do these same things that the business and marketing gurus do, where they hold paid conferences, you know.
It's funny. Forex isn't even their business.
No, it's not.
Teaching about
Forex. They host in-person courses where they travel around.
Honestly, isn't that like genius? Like the way they pull that off? It sucks.
There's
honestly,
a certain amount
like,
of, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
low,
I know. It's
lowly
like
guys out here.
I don't completely discredit them. It took some hustle and some timing. I don't think you could start doing what they're doing now.
It's almost like a pyramid scheme that actually works. You know, like when you not a scheme, sorry,
yeah,
multi-level marketing company that actually is like at the beginning stages. If you get on top, you can make money.
Yeah, you can. And it's so much of it is timing into it. You know,
right.
Like, I mean, some of the guys who are huge in this whole sort of misleading, you know, paid information game in Forex got in it early, and they have massive followings already. And there's tons of guys who try to replicate it, but they're just sitting there on Instagram.
So true
looking
to,
stupid.
True to the blue, Forex doesn't take a course, doesn't take any of that. It's just, what is it? Just figuring out your...
Well, there's phenomenal resources out there that aren't paid. Babypips.com is one that's called, not affiliated in any way, but babypips.com is one of the most common ones for these guys to regurgitate information off of.
Hmm.
These guys are big time into their graphic design and packaging of all their information, so it all looks so much different, but there's information on that website about all the different ways of trading, fundamentally, technically, and things like that. There's a lot of dailyfx.com is a good one for like news and fundamental analysis and guys who really like to analyze, you know, long-term macro trends in currencies. But when it comes down to it, there's so many different ways that people trade Forex successfully that you browse around the internet and everybody's kind of claiming that their way is the way. And in reality, you need to kind of fight your own battle and learn how the market works, learn how the foreign exchange entire world actually flows and works, and kind of figure out your own way, because there's just not going to be a successful strategy that's shown to you, even for free. The good information out there that's free is mostly teaching you how the market works. It's not telling you when to enter and when to exit. And if they are claiming that, then you should just be skeptical to begin with. Because why would they? I mean, there's just not an incentive there. When it comes to money, you got to look for incentives and why people would do it. Like, do you think these guys just want to teach you out of the goodness of their heart how you can make money trading for no profit towards them? Because if you have a successful trading strategy that's working and then the masses figure that out, it's no longer going to be a successful trading strategy anymore. Yeah. Money just doesn't work that way.
Right.
The smart money and dumb money are always going opposite directions.
So what's the platform you use?
It's called Oanda. OANDA.
And there are some others, like you can still use TD Ameritrade, I guess, but Oanda, you said, is pretty much the
best.
Yes,
I think TD Ameritrade offers it in certain regions, and like Interactive Brokers does, but they, IB, but they are one of the ones that you need massive amounts of capital for.
Yeah.
And how much, real quick, how much capital do you need to start? Like for an E-Trade account, for example, you just need $500.
Yeah.
You can just trade stocks and become rich.
I believe Oanda right now has $100. But
really?
That's pretty low in the game. They're one of the,
well, so there you go. I mean, if you guys are trying to get in, Oanda gets you started. Yeah,
it does. And you're in control. Like, since they have such a low buy-in because they allow you to trade such low lot sizes,
yeah,
if you will. But there's two big different kinds of brokers out there, and you need to be wary of this, but not fearful of it. And that's market makers and versus ECN brokers. And even Oanda is a market maker, which is looked upon on a macro scale as less favorable. But they're still regulated, and I'll explain what the difference is between these two markets. But they're still regulated, and you can still test them, and there's tons of people using them, watching what they're doing and knowing that you're not getting screwed. But a market maker is not really, why it has this term, is it's not really exchanging your money into other currencies. What they're doing is they're creating the market for you. They're taking the prices that are being reported by all the central banks and big world banks and everything that's going on, and all the reported pricing. They are reporting that to you, and they're taking the opposite position of you every time you trade. So they basically know that the majority of traders fail. And they've basically have the ultimate scheme of trading.
So this is a freaking casino.
Yeah, that's kind of the way if you look at it that way, the difference is the house profit magnitude difference. The casino's like so far has an advantage over you, like,
yeah,
by such a massive amount.
Right, that's not the same.
Their
guess,
odds are amazing against you, and also they all are actual odds games. Like you could actually become a good Forex trader. You could learn things. You could learn how the market moves. And
that's
win.
What I want to hear. There's actually like a skill to this. Like, you can learn it.
There is.
Kind of like trading stocks.
That's
or doing
why
there's
that people
stuff.
Who have been consistently profitable.
I just think people think it's a
years.
Magical thing that like you're a day trader even in stocks.
It's
like,
hard.
That's not,
it's harder to just initially be profitable in it than in the stock market because it's not a trending up market.
Gotcha.
It's every single graph is something that just moves back and forth.
Right.
Sort of. As time goes on, like there's like long-term upward trend is just not a thing unless some particular country has just been failing or winning forever. But that just doesn't really happen. Not over the, you know, the 100 years that the stock market has trended up.
Yeah. You know? I got you.
So it's a little bit harder initially because you can't just sort of put money in and ignore it and expect to eventually make money.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit harder to figure out how to initially be profitable. It really is.
So I'm going to probably close this down real quick, but first you were saying, what is an ECN?
Right. So
that's the next thing.
Basically, if you become great at Forex trading at the in a market maker level, eventually you're going to be so successful that you can get out of being with one of these market maker brokers like Oanda. You're going to start trading with what they call an ECN. And these guys are different. They actually have access straight into the best available price for any asset change, and you're actually exchanging your money between these currencies. They're basically plugged into
the
central banks, the central markets.
This sounds like the difference between like an option level 2 versus an option level 5.
Yeah, I don't know enough about that to know.
Same thing. So you're plugged more in and you have way more info and it's all more live than it would be otherwise.
Right. So
like you're trading at NASDAQ versus trading at home. Yeah,
that's probably a good analogy. I think the difference between the two is probably a little bit less because the price is still very, very fast and very, very live on a broker like Oanda. But you're trading based off the spread, the bid and the ask prices. You're trading what they give you, what they choose to give you. Whereas in an ECN, you're getting the best available price out there for you. And the ECN is not profiting off that. They probably have commissions.
Right.
Do have commissions.
Yeah.
More like in the old school days before Robinhood disrupted the market and there was just like a $4.95 or $7.95 commission on every single trade. When you're trading with a market maker like Oanda, you don't have a flat, commission trade. The Oanda's profit comes in two different ways. It comes in, the little difference between the bid and ask, the spread price. So, when you try to buy the euro versus the dollar at 1.3002, it actually executes at 1.3004, and Oanda makes that little tiny little percentage there. And however much you're trading, they make that, you know.
And that is essentially what Robinhood does to make their money too. That's why they don't have commissions now, right?
Actually do the same thing across the board.
Now they don't have commissions, so that's all they make.
Yeah, and spreads will be extremely low in stocks when they're liquid. You'll put in a market order at $1.35 and it'll execute at $1.35. Like,
right.
You won't even hardly even see it.
Yeah, you won't.
You'll see it in the Forex market and when volatility goes or liquidity goes down and not like, you know, in the middle of the night, with market makers, like Oanda and all the other low initial deposit brokers that are common, you'll see the spread go way, way up. It'll be like 20 pips. If you placed an order right there, it'll execute literally 20 pips off of what you put in.
So but it's cheaper to trade during more liquid.
You want to try to build your strategy around executing your orders during one of the major trading sessions, US, London, Tokyo, Sydney. But like Sydney's isn't like when Australia is the only country awake in the world, it's still not as good spreads as when New York is pumping. When New York is awake, like the euro versus the dollar, those spreads will be very low, like one pip, two pips. And that's good. You like that.
For beginners, I think that's where you should start then. So we're shooting them towards trying.
Yeah, beginners sometimes won't even realize it. They start scalping and they start like just trading. And they don't realize it and they put in a big order all of a sudden at like 5:02 PM and it's crazy. Like literally in just a matter of minutes, spreads will go from two or three pips to 20 pips. And sometimes they'll have, beginners also tend to try to trade shorter term trades. So a lot of times they're doing like stop losses 30 or 40 pips below where they, enter. And the spread just went up to 20 pips and they won't be watching the, spread counter. And they'll just be watching their graph for their optimal entry point and they'll hit it and boom, right upon entry, they'll be halfway to their stop loss already. Yeah. And they're like, what the heck? It's happened to most beginner Forex traders probably. You just forget to look at it. So ECNs, that's hedge funds and institutional investors that have access to that stuff.
Right.
If you're successful enough trading at the market maker level, you know, you'll probably eventually either end up trading for a firm or being your own firm if you become that good at it.
All right. Well, holy crap. That's a lot of info at once, guys.
Yeah.
And I hope you liked it.
You might have to pause the video every now and then.
Right, like, dude? Freaking break it down, man. I'll give you guys a couple pauses in that when I edit it. So that was super toasty. I liked it a lot. That's Jordan. Do you want an email to these guys or give you an Instagram to DM? What do you want?
Like if they want to get in touch?
Yeah, Matt. Yeah. What do you want us to like?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to have the link in the show notes, so I got to put it somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's do the...
I can forward the emails too. If you want to just shoot me the email, I'll shoot you the email.
Yeah, that'll work.
All right, so I always have my email there. You guys already know, sky.tday@gmail.com. And then I'll have all the rest of our info there that we talked about. Oenda.com, babypips.com, freaking,
I'll plug one
4X,
more.
Whatever the heck.
That I'm not, or two more that I'm not affiliated with, obviously. I'm not cool enough for that yet. But two of the other best resources, dailyfx.com.
Yeah.
Is a great one for news and fundamental analysis and some education. And then the best private resource I've ever found that's all free. He's a YouTube channel and a blog, and he's called No Nonsense Forex. He'll tell you all about how to not listen to the masses and kind of go against the masses and figure out your own way.
And he actually worked at a firm now, right?
He claims, and everything in Forex is unverifiable, you know?
Right.
He says that he trades for a prop. He says he's actually with a prop trading firm, which is basically somebody who gives you more capital and you trade on the behalf of them. They pay you some of the profits out. It's basically leveraging your leverage,
right?
You know, once you're good enough.
Yeah.
And I don't have a from. He seems really genuine. I don't have a reason not to. I can't find a reason not to believe him. He doesn't charge for anything, which instantly gives him more credibility. So
I've also read some of his stuff, and he is definitely no nonsense. He's straightforward. He just does it.
Dry humor,
right?
Serious. I like him.
So all right, guys. Well, that's it for today. And
stay toasty.
Stay toasty.